attendance or joining us online. For God is good all the time. Amen. So let's start out with some announcements and some God sightings. Do we have any God sightings that we would like to share this morning? Not everyone at once, okay?
The warm weather and all the daffodils.
Warm weather and daffodils.
I did pick a big bouquet of daffodils that I forgot about. They are beautiful.
They are beautiful. Yesterday was definitely a beautiful day. Diane and Mike and Ken and myself for this week, we've been managed to get some things done, whether it's clear out the prayer garden over here, thank you guys and gal, or to get the dirt in the garden and to enrich the soil, get ready for planting time here pretty soon. We won't plant too early, Miss Evelina. She always fusses at me every year about, don't plant, you know, we're going to have another frost. So we won't try to plant too early. Do we have any other God sightings that we need to list this morning?
I saw Maddie yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, I did. She's doing very well.
Good.
She's just a happy little soul. You know, with all she's been through, she gets so excited when she hears my voice. She says, Auntie Bonnie, and she starts hitting herself. She's so excited, you know. And it's always good to see her because she's such a sick child, and she doesn't know that nobody else is, so she doesn't look for pity or anything. She just takes her illness and her life and for granted. She doesn't take anything for granted, but she just takes it in stride. You know, because like, she doesn't see other children play, so she doesn't know she could get up and play, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But,
I've got a couple of God sightings. One, my class don't end until somewhere in April. But I've got all the work done, so I don't have to worry about any more homework. So for me, that is a big woo-hoo. So I'm really happy about that. And we really had a great turnout for our Bible study for Thursday evening. We will come back again this Thursday, and I think we're going to probably keep it simple and just do pizzas for Thursday and do that instead. We will have a Maundy Thursday service coming up. I do have to question the time on the sunrise service. I checked, and sunrise for Easter morning is not until 7:53. So we might want to look about trying to do it at 7:30. But we'll try to shore that up and make sure that y'all know about that as soon as possible. But the Maundy Thursday service is at 6:00. That evening, and I'm really looking forward to that. It should be really, really interesting. And I've got some good news coming down the pipe, but I'm not going to say anything until she tells me it's okay to share. Is it okay?
It's okay.
Okay. We have a new person who will be joining the church on April 5th. Miss Brianna Campbell has come and talked to me this morning, and she wants to become a member of this church. She feels accepted and wants to be part of this church family. So my heart is just filled with joy today.
Well, and that's a God sighting.
That is definitely a God sighting for sure. And Miss Bonnie has agreed to be her sponsor for the year. So I'm sure they will be challenging each other all every chance they get. But that's a good thing. Do we have any other announcements or God sightings we'd like to share? Okay, and then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we gather in your presence today, we come with open hearts. And we are so eager to worship and to be filled by your living water. We recall the story of the lady at the well, who come seeking the ordinary, but encountered the extraordinary in Jesus. Lord, just as you met her in her need, meet us here today in ours. Empower us through your Spirit to listen, to worship, and to leave this place changed, ready to share the good news of your love with everyone we encounter. May your time together be a wellspring of hope, joy, and renewal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I will ask that you will turn to Psalm 95 in your Bible and read that as Diane brings us to focus upon the Lord.
Thank you.
against, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Concerned this morning?
Pray for the country. We desperately need it.
Yes, ma'am. We pray for this country every Sunday for sure, and I myself for every day. So, Miss Diane, do we need prayer for you today with your vertigo? What's happening? Okay. I swear to you, she has not been into the grape juice. She has just suffered with some ear problem today. So if you see her staggering, please be, show her a little bit of grace and some mercy. All right. Any other prayer concerns? Then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, you invite us to come to you as we are. And to hear the cries of our hearts, we know that you listen. We lift up before you the needs of our community, our world, and ourselves. And for those who are weary, burdened, or searching for hope, we ask for your comfort and peace. For those who are sick and suffering, that we have lifted up this morning, Maddie and JD, people overseas, stuck and cannot get back home. Miss Fitz, Diane, friends of Brianna's, and Lord, this country. We ask that you grant healing and strength. Holy Spirit, we invite your comforting presence to surround them and bring peace, restoration, and hope to all. Fill them with your power and assurance, reminding them that they are never alone. May your healing touch renew their bodies and their minds and spirits. And may your love be a source of encouragement and light in their times of need. Father, we ask that you guide our leaders with wisdom. Bring unity where there is division. And shine your light in places overshadowed by darkness. We pray for those who hunger and thirst for justice and for all who have feel forgotten or alone. And we also pray for those who remain on our hearts that are left unmentioned this morning. May your living water flow through us, refreshing and renewing all who seek you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you empower us to act with compassion. Encourage as we follow your Son's example of love and service. Trusting in you and your unfailing grace, as one family in faith, we join our voices to pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I will now ask Miss Bonnie if she will join us. Please join me in the offertory prayer found in your bulletin. Steadfast God of hope, you have called us to rejoice, not in ease or achievement, but in the grace that sustains us through suffering, the love that meets us in struggle, and a hope that does not disappoint. You pour your Spirit into our hearts, shaping us into a people who give not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. As we bring these gifts, may they testify to your presence among us and to the promise of reconciliation you offer the world through Christ. Make us bold in our sharing, joyful in our worship, and confident in your grace. In the name of the one who died for us and lives within us, we pray. Amen.
Sets us by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore saith unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am I, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have been given thee a living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? Drink therefore himself and his sons and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, everyone that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come all the way hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou sayest well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. This hast thou said truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye shall say that in Jerusalem is a place where the man ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such doeth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, he that is called Christ. When he is come, he will declare to us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he was speaking with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why speakest thou with her? So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city, and saith to the people, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not. The disciples therefore said one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and accomplish his work. Say not ye, there are not 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, and they that are white already unto harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that he soweth, and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. For herein is the saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you have not labored. Others have labored, and you entered into their labor. And from that city many of the Samaritans believed on him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all things that I did. So when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him to abide with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy speaking, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Savior of the world.
This passage came from John 4, verses 5 through 42, for those who are joining us online. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. And thank you, Kent. I know that was a very long passage to have to try to get through. For those who are joining us online today, the title of today's message is called Fill My Cup, Lord. So I want to set this up for you. The sun had climbed high enough to bleach the sky into this pale, relentless blue. And it was the kind of midday heat that you experience when it starts pressing against your shoulders and then it starts settling into your bones. And some of us felt that yesterday, and probably earlier this week. The air shimmered above the dusty road leading down to Jacob's Well. And the stones, they were radiating from the heat like a slow-burning fire. And then, all of a sudden, you glance, and there he sits, Jesus. He's weary from the journey. His clothes are clinging to his skin from the sweat. The taste of dust is still lingering on his tongue. And the disciples have gone into the town. And there are footsteps that you're fading into the hum of the distant voices. And they're just leaving him alone with the creak of the old rope and the bucket kind of hanging there in the well. Just a little bit of a breeze. You can hear it almost screech when it's rocking back and forth. And it was quiet. It was really quiet, but you could hear off the soft rasp of sand shifting under someone's sandals. Jacob's Well had stood there for centuries, fed by this deep spring of this very cold water that never ran dry, not even in a drought. You could always rely on that well. It is if the earth remembered the footsteps of the former patriarchs that had originally dug that well. And to draw that water, that cold, sweet, clear water, was to feel the weight of stories that kingdoms itself. It was just beautiful. You ever had a fresh ladle of water that you have dipped out and you just like, oh, that is good water. But then you can hear these footsteps and they're approaching a lot closer. They're slow, they're hesitant, and all of a sudden here comes a woman into view. She has her water jug, her jar balanced onto her, and her eyes are lowered, hoping that no one sees her approaching that well. It's been a practice that she does not make eye contact with anyone. The heat is wrapped around her like a cloak, and the beads of sweat now from walking from town up to that hill are just pouring off of her. And she walks very carefully, hoping that the whole world ignores her. And she really prefers it that way. In the morning, the women gather, and it's a time of fellowship and camaraderie and to laughter and tell us stories of what has happened during the day. Noon was a time of preferred silence. She preferred the silence to scrutiny. Her name, we come to realize because of the Catholic Church, is Fatina. And it means illuminated one, or the enlightened one. But in this moment, she was just simply a woman trying to make it through another day without being seen or judged. She did not expect anyone to be there. And she especially did not expect to see a Jewish man, his features all marked with the dust from the travel. His posture is relaxed, but he's still alert. And she knows he's waiting for someone, but surely cannot be I. He cannot be waiting for me. He's a Jewish man, and I'm a Samaritan. And she did not expect him to speak. Jews and Samaritans did not share cups. They did not share meals, and they especially did not share conversations with one another. Their history was long and tangled, full of political fractures, rival temples, accusations of impurity, and even centuries of mutual suspicion. Every Samaritan child grew up hearing about these stories, about how their ancestors had once worshipped on Mount Gerizim, long before Jerusalem had rose in splendor. How their people had been called half-breeds and heretics by those who shared their blood but not their fellowship. How the Syrian conquest centuries earlier had scattered families across the area and resulted in mixed cultures that no one could quite agree upon and who belonged to what and who did not. The divide between the Jews and Samaritans wasn't just a disagreement, it was a wound that never healed. The division lived in the way people avoided each other's groans, in a way they refused to share vessels, in a way a simple request for water could feel like crossing a battlefield. You just simply did not talk to a Samaritan, and a Samaritan surely did not talk to a Jewish person. But here's Jesus, and he lifts his head, his eyes meeting hers. With this gentleness that felt like cool water on a sparse throat, and he says, "Give me a drink." The words hung in the hot air, and it kind of startled her in this simplicity. "Give me a drink." She blinked, unsure. Has she heard correctly to what he has just asked? A Jewish man asking a Samaritan woman for a drink? Surely he is off his rocker. He's just a little bit touched in the head, asking for a drink of water. And she almost could feel the tension rising up in her. It was almost kind of like a hatred. A Jewish man asking a Samaritan woman for a drink. All that bitterness that had been passed down from generation to generation, and here it is right in front of her. And she says, "How is it that you, a Jewish man, come to ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water?" A woman of Samaria, no less. And her voice is carrying this almost disbelief. "I can't believe that you're asking me this." But Jesus' reply was soft. It carried a weight that seemed to settle all around. And he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She glanced at the well, its mouth dark and deep, and the scent of this cool earth rising faintly from her love. And here that rope is, frayed from years, the bucket just worn down from all of the hands that had touched it, and she looks back at him, kind of squinting against the glare of the sun. She goes, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and this well is too deep." She was thinking of the water that she could touch, the water she could taste, the water that cooled her skin after a long walk. But Jesus was speaking of something totally foreign to her, but it kind of stirred within her. He told her about the water he offered that would become a spring inside of her, bubbling up into this eternal life. And all of a sudden, she felt it. She felt this shift within her, almost like a tremor of hope. She said above this whisper, "Sir, give me this water. I want some of it." She wanted rest. She wanted relief. She wanted something that would wash away the ache that she carried around like a second skin. She did not want to be the woman that everyone looked at. And then Jesus says, for me, this would have been fighting words right here. "Go call your husband." The words hit her like a sudden gust of wind, unexpected and unsettling. She felt her chest tighten up, the familiar sting of shame rising up from her. "I have no husband," she said in a voice steady but thin, and Jesus nodded, his eyes never leaving her the whole time. He says, you're right. You have five husbands, and the one that you are with right now is not your husband. He spoke the truth of her life, but he did it in a way that was tender, that felt like a hand resting lightly on a wound. Not pressing, not probing, just acknowledging. What Jesus was saying is that I see you. I know you. He did not recoil. He did not judge. He simply saw her. And this is where the history of her world presses in like the heat around them. In a world where a woman could not choose her husband, could not initiate divorce, could not secure her own future. She was property. Marriage was survival, and survival was often fragile. A woman widowed or abandoned could be passed from one male relative to another, not out of romance, but out of necessity. Each loss, each abandonment, each shift in the household left marks on her spirit, the way years of drawing water left calluses on her hands. People whispered about her, but they did not understand. They saw scandal where Jesus saw sorrow. They saw failure where Jesus saw endurance. They saw a woman, to avoid. Jesus saw a woman worth crossing Samaria for. She realized she was standing in the presence of someone who knew her story and did not turn away from her. Sir, I see you are a prophet. She said with her voice starting to tremble and almost with awe because she is recognizing who this man is. And she asks him, where do people like me go where I could go worship? On the mountain of my ancestors or in Jerusalem, we are not welcomed. And the question tasted of this longing of years spent wondering if God even had a place for her and her people. And Jesus' answer was like a breeze sweeping across from the desert. He told her that true worship was not about mountains. It's not about temples. It's not about geography or lineage. It's about spirit and truth. And she felt those words settle into her. And she kind of took it in. She said, well, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus looked at her and he says, I am he. And at that moment, the world stood still. Even the air felt different, as if creation itself had paused to listen. Really? He had not said this to the crowds. He had not had revealed any of this to the religious leaders. He had not even had said anything to his own disciples. He says it to her, Photina, a woman standing alone in the heat of the day with dust on her feet and a story that she wished she could rewrite for herself. And then we see the disciples returning. Their sandals are crunching on the gravel, and their faces are flushed from the sun. And they stare wide-eyed at Jesus speaking with this woman, but they say nothing. And then Photina does something extraordinary. She looks down at her jar that had defined her whole daily routine. And then she sets it down. The jar that had defined everything about her, the jar that she carried like a burden, the jar that symbolized her thirst, she left it all behind. The air felt lighter as she turned and ran, and her feet kicking up small clouds of dust, her heart is pounded with joy like something from the freedom. She ran all the way back to town. She had avoided. Her voice rises from the marketplace's noise as she cried out, come and see this man. He's told me everything about my life, everything that I've ever done. The people turned surprised by her urgency, drawn in by the brightness of her eyes. She got it. She understood. They followed her, the dust swirling around their ankles as they hurried up toward the well. And many believed because of her testimony. The woman who once walked to the well alone is now leading a whole crowd to where Jesus, the living water, is at. There's a story of a woman who is standing in a grocery line. Her clothes are worn, her face tired. The fluorescent lights are kind of blinking overhead. And she places a few items on a conveyor belt. Bread, peanut butter, gallon of milk. And when her card was declined, she felt the embarrassment rise within her, that familiar burn of shame. And she whispered, "I'm sorry," and reached for her bag to leave everything behind. But before she could move, the cashier leaned forward and said, "It's okay. I've got this. I've got this." No spotlight, no judgment, just pure, simple grace that was unexpected. The woman bursts into tears. Not because she would get groceries, but because someone saw her and they did not turn away from her. They had shown her mercy, the exact same thing that Jesus had did for Fatima. He saw her. He dignified her. He restored her. And now there's another story about a man who's in recovery. And he once told me, he says, "You know, I have spent years with my addiction. But I kept pretending I wasn't thirsty, that I didn't need God. But one night, that thirst was so overwhelming that I walked into the town and I just kind of looked around. I was headed to a bar to get me another one." And he says, across the street was an AA meeting in a little church. And he says, "I made up my mind I needed something more because this was not getting it." And he walked into the recovery meeting. The smell of fresh coffee had just been brewed. Old chairs still in the room. And he looked around and he says, "My name is John and I need help." He expected judgment. Instead, the room erupted in applause for him. He had taken the first step. And he says, "You know, because addiction is not good, but honesty is holy." And he said, "That night I felt like God had sat down at my well and he filled me up that night." He said, "When we bring our truth into the light, living water begins to flow because mercy is shown to us." Well, Fatima's story tells us that Jesus meets all of us in the heat of our lives when we are thirsty for something more. When the sun is high and the shadows are short, when we are tired and thirsty and carrying these big old jars that we no longer want to hold, Jesus will go to help us to survive. He knows the chapters that we wish we could erase. All of us have made mistakes. And I have told many people, "This is, I just can't get past this." And my response to them is, Jesus has already forgiven you. It's you who has to forgive yourself. And that is probably harder. Once you can accept that Jesus has forgiven you, don't let the devil fight you and go back and use your past against you. Never. Because my God, your God, is much stronger than that. He knows the wounds we carry. He knows the labels that we have placed upon ourselves. But he does not turn one of us away. Jesus offers all of us living water. So I want to just give you a little bit of a backdrop to what happened to Fatina, because this is generally not taught in the church. We know that she's named Fatina because of the Catholic Church. We also know that she was baptized by the disciples. And she spent her whole life evangelizing all over Samaria and Africa for about 30 years after that encounter with Jesus. She took five sisters and two sons that traveled with her everywhere. And Nero at the time was the main guy in charge, and he was hunting for her, and he wanted to silence her, and he wanted to calm her jets down. Why was he so adamant about making her stop that evangelism? Well, she converted his daughter, Domenina, to Christianity. Turned her away from all of the other gods, Roman gods. And he finally caught her and he told her, he says, if you will do this, I will spare your life. She says, what is it you want me to do? I want you to kneel down and pray to all of my gods and to admit that my gods are stronger than yours. She would not. Her crime, preaching the word of God. And here's the irony. The punishment, she was thrown into a dry well and left to die. And there she did. But do you think she thirsted in that dry well? No. She already had what she needed. And so the question that lingers is like the taste of cool water on a hot day. Are you all carrying a jar? Am I carrying a jar? What might happen if we set that down at the feet of the one who sits at our well and calls us beloved? Think about it. Amen. And now I will ask that you all please stand, and we will read. Yeah, we're going to sing off of 641. We're going to do it twice. Fill my cup, Lord.
Thank you. You're not going to kill me.
Thank you.